Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, Aiken, South Carolina. We're the loving church with Jesus at heart. I don't see any visitors. In fact, we're kind of a small group again, so we'll have to pray for all those folks who are traveling or ill or whatever. Paul, for announcements, Paul Wilson has an announcement for y'all.
Okay, this is for your calendars. Next month on the 13th, we're going to have bingo, and I think it's bingo and dessert. 6 o'clock, put it on your calendar. I'll hope to see you all there.
So that's Friday, March 13th. Friday the 13th. Yes. Yeah? 6 p.m. dessert and bingo. For those of you who know Joanne Oglesby and her daughter Penny, there will be a celebration of life service to remember Joanne's son Bob, who recently passed away. The service is at 2 p.m. next Sunday, February 23rd, and the new location of their church is 562 East Pine Log Road here in Aiken. And the name of that church is Aiken Christian Church. Today we will collect our Week of Compassion blessing boxes. If anyone needs a box, I bet if you raise your hand, somebody will. Where are they? Okay, they're right over here. If you raise your hand, and Caroline will get you one. Excuse me. Anytime we respond to a need in the world, we bear witness to the unity of our table, faithfully sharing the gifts that we have as an expression of Christ's love. Thank you for your contribution. These will be collected in the following manner, I believe.
After the Lord's Prayer?
Yes. After the Lord's Prayer and during the praise hymn, Oh, How I Love Jesus, they will be, are they coming up? Or?
Ed will be there with the
okay.
Basket.
Ed will be here with this big basket. And they will be put in the basket. You'll come up and put it in. Tomorrow the office will be closed and there will be no crafting. The office will be open on Tuesday instead of Monday. We will hold Ash Wednesday service on Wednesday, February 26th at 11:30. All righty, now, every year, to help support Camp Christian, which is trying to reopen for children and renew itself, and that's in Hampton, there is a barbecue. So another year has passed, it's time for the barbecue. This is the only fundraiser for Camp Christian. Many hours of hard work go into this successful barbecue. And if you would give me, either today or next Sunday at the latest, your order, and it's $10 for a meal, then I will go down. They are selling between 4 and 6 p.m. on the 29th, the last Saturday of this month, and I would pick up your food and bring it back here. I had kind of suggested it would be 5:30 by the time, if I'm there at 4 and pick it up, it'll be 5:30 by the time I, at least by the time I get it back. So I kind of suggested that if you wanted to, you could eat together here. And they are asking us to bring down homemade cakes, pies, or cookies for them to sell. But we could also have some here if people chose to eat here. That would be up to y'all. Now, what they have a choice of, and it's too late for bulk orders, but for individual orders, $10 each, would be pork, hash, or chicken barbecue. Jim thinks that the rice and hash come with everything. I'm not sure about that. We'll see. let's see. I think that's it. How many people do you think, well, maybe I should ask you to raise your hands next Sunday. Think about whether you'd want to eat together here.
Think about whether
Yes. Well, I really, you know, I don't want to put that on you till next week, but if you're thinking about it, think about it. You can let me know, and I would take money and everything next week. Also, they have to prepare for this. Camp Christian does not have a full-time cleanup crew. So yesterday, and I didn't go because I had trash and treasures, they cleaned the outside. Next Saturday, the 22nd, and they need men as well as women, they're cleaning the inside where everything would be cooked and all. So this is just in, Camp Christian is just down about an hour and a half into Hampton. So if you are willing to ride down there and help clean up, they would really appreciate it. I think that's it. Questions? Okay. No, please notice in your bulletin a list of additional activities this week. Are there any other announcements? Axe donation for this month is still shaving cream and razors. And don't forget the ladies. I made sure we had some ladies' razors, too. Seemed like there was something else. Oh, I know what I was going to tell you. Trash and Treasures yesterday, we made $123.75, which was very good. Because the month before, we only made $27. And this money, of course, supports the 19 missions that are funded. And that's most of the missions that we fund here in the church. If you want to see a list of those, it's on the door, inside of the door in room 3, which is unlocked on Sundays. So you could just open it and see what all those are. All righty. At this time, if you could please stand for our call to worship. Blessings to God who gives hope in the darkness of our lives.
Blessings to Jesus Christ who reveals God's love unto the world.
Blessings to the Holy Spirit who empowers us to be a light for others.
Blessings, honor, and glory to God, today and forever.
Amen. Please remain standing for hymn number 529. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to worship you together. We thank you for allowing us to gather here today on this rainy Sunday. Bless us. Let us fill your spirit as we worship you. And continue to bless those who are worshiping with us in spirit, but unable to be here in person. Hear us now as we pray, as you have taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As Judy announced, we're going to add the receiving of the blessing boxes, which is gathering money for a week of compassion. Ed, who's our deacon for the month, will be down front with the box, and you can either bring it to him or signal to him that you have one, and he will come and get it. But we will do that during the singing of our hymn 99, Oh, How I Love Jesus. And please remain seated while you're singing, unless you're getting up to bring your box. Thank you. There's a song that y'all may know. It's called Lord, Listen to Your Children Praying. Do y'all know that song? Well, I was in the back getting my robe on a few minutes ago, and the church was abuzz with talking. And I was back there, and I was so touched by it because I thought, Lord, listen to your children talking. Because people were talking to each other, which was a sign of a church that's alive and that cares for each other and is glad to be here. So I offer that as a joy as we start our prayer time. I will also include a prayer for a blessing of our boxes during our prayer. Ed gave me the cards. Okay. For our thanks, I want to thank Shelvia for her advertising that she did for the reaching out to the radio and to the neighborhood webpage to talk about our trash and treasure. So thank you for that. On our prayer concerns, we have the Teal Etheridge family, the Bob Oglesby family, Dr. Bass, who y'all know sits right back there in the back and had a stroke a few weeks ago. He did call. I texted him this morning, and he called the church and said that he is doing better. Elsie, fix me if I get it wrong, but that he is doing better, and that he thanks everyone for the cards, and that he hopes to see us very soon. So continue to send the cards to them. They just moved here in retirement, so we are his. We and his community, his neighborhood, are his family. And then Denise Peters. Are there any other prayer concerns, joys, or concerns? June?
I'd like prayer for my Mike's best friend, Greg, and continued prayers for him.
Okay.
He battles pancreatic cancer. The doctors have not given him a great prognosis, and Mike is down there with him.
Okay.
So pray for Mike's journey back home in this bad weather.
Yeah.
And for my my stepson, Mike Jr., that he gets back to Boston safely. Well.
Okay. And where does Greg live?
He lives in Goose Creek.
Okay.
Charleston.
Okay.
Mary?
Yes.
My sister Susan finished her chemo treatments and stuff. So
oh, wow.
She's a doctor this week.
Oh, wow. We'll pray for a good report. I have a joy. Yesterday, Joey's not here today because he wore himself out. We were at Greenville for a two-day state basketball tournament, and he made 29 points on a game on Friday, and it sounds like a ball hog, but he really isn't. He really just was the one hitting them, and then he scored 22 yesterday. They lost. They came so close. But anyway, he did make the all-tournament team, so I was proud of him for that. So we let him sleep in. I told somebody today would have been a good day for me to sleep in as well, but I didn't want to miss y'all. So, all right, any other joys? Yes, Lisa.
I'd just like some travel mercies for myself.
Okay.
I am going to be going down to Pensacola to meet my great niece, Patrick's daughter.
Oh, wow.
And I'll be leaving Monday after work, and I'll be coming back Wednesday after we visit.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I go to Las Vegas the week after that, so. Oh. For work. Not for fun. Although I'm sure there should be some fun involved in it.
Surely you can find some, I bet. That's right. Okay. All right, well, let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you again for the opportunity to worship you and to pray to you, knowing that the concerns of our hearts are concerns that you want us to share with you. We give you thanks for sports for children, for those skills that it teaches them, for their ability to learn how to be we-centered instead of me-centered, for their ability to grow their bodies as you have created them to be. I thank you for the coaches and the officials and the parents that make all that possible. Dear God, I thank you for this church and for the love that is evident in this room. I pray for the people that are here today, that knowing that they are part of this community is a strengthening part of their life. Also pray for the members of our community that are not here today, either due to work, due to illness, due to travel, or due to the weather. Help them to also feel their connection to you and to us, even in their absence. Dear God, we pray for the people that we just mentioned, for the Teal Etheridge family, for the Bob Oglesby family, for Hal Bass, for Denise Peters, for Greg, also traveling mercies for Mike and Mike Jr., and for Lisa. We give you thanks for Susan as she has completed her chemo, and we pray that she will receive a good report when she goes to the doctor this week. Dear God, my heart has been, dear God, you tell us that we can groan to you when we don't have words. And dear God, I have no words for the death of Faye Swetlick and for the pain in the Casey community and the Columbia community and in our state. I pray for her classmates, the children who ride the bus with her, her mother, her grandmother, her neighbors, her teachers, for the law enforcement that searched so diligently for her, for the motor procession that brought her body back to Columbia yesterday. To God, I offer all this to you because you know the pain that something like that causes, and only you can heal it. God, I also pray for children who don't make the news, who die from abuse, who live in abuse. Dear God, I pray for them and for their families that they could also find healing and peace. Dear God, I pray for our country as we celebrate President's Day. I give you thanks for the leaders that we have had, for the leadership that we have, and for the leadership that will come. I pray for our election system as we continue to voice our democracy and to be the country that we can be, both for the world and for ourselves. I pray that as we live this week, that we will live it with you in the forefront, and that all that we do and say reflects the love that we have received from you. Forgive us where we fail you and each other and ourselves, and forgive us of our sins. And hear us now as we pray to you. Boxes. I got a little bit carried away. So join me in another prayer. Dear God, we offer to you these boxes of filled with expressions of our gratitude for the blessings that you send our way. You know each blessing that is counted in this box, and you also know each gift that that blessing brought. We give you thanks for the blessings. Thanks for the opportunity to share with others. We ask your blessing on these gifts and on their use through the week of compassion. In Christ's holy name I pray. Amen. We come now to the table. I don't have bread today because I was at a basketball tournament for 2 days. So we have an empty plate and a cup. But the bread is there. Jesus said he is the bread of life, whether I remember to bake it or not. So join me in the singing of our communion hymn. Hymn number 384, Here at Thy Table, Lord, standing if you are able. You may be seated. Now we recall that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Hear now the prayer for the bread.
God of wisdom, you are the great teacher. Help us to learn your way. Be patient with us when we learn slowly, when we put our trust in our own resources and to come feel dried up and burned out. Invite us again to sink our deep roots into your love. Teach us to find our nourishment in you as we share in the symbolic act of eating bread, that we may nourish and flourish in your spirit like trees beside the living water. In the life-giving name of Christ we come. Amen.
Body of Christ broken for you. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Now a prayer for our cup.
Our gracious and forgiving God, we thank you for the opportunity once again to partake of this cup of remembrance of your Son, Jesus Christ. We are reminded of his precious blood shed on the cross in order that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Let us each examine our own lives, becoming more aware of our selfish attitudes and deeds. As we drink of this cup, strengthen our resolve to follow your leading more faithfully. May our spirits of renewed do your will. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you. Today we have the opportunity to give twice, so let's worship God again in our giving. Gracious God, we give you thanks for these gifts and for the opportunity to give them. We ask your blessing on them and help us to use them for your service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now if you can join us in singing of the doxology, either standing if you are able or singing as you sit. Thank you. You may be seated.
This little light of mine.
The Bible reading for today comes from John 5, verse 1 through 15, the healing at the pond. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five colored colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath, and so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well.
Thank you, Buzzy. Thank you, choir. That was beautiful. We need some shining on this dreary, rainy day, don't we? If you've ever been to a Disney cartoon movie, you realize how smart the creators of those movies are, because they know that they are gearing this movie for children who can't drive. So they're going to bring adults to the movies with them. So there's multiple levels. You'll be at the movie theater and you'll hear something silly will happen and the children will laugh. And then about 5 minutes later, something that goes right over their head will have every adult in the theater laughing. And so when it's over, whether you're a child or an adult, you walk out thinking, that was a very good movie. I got something out of that. Even though they didn't get the same thing. Bible stories are a lot like that. They're not meant to humor us or entertain us, but they are meant to teach us. And since I've been working on this series on familiar Bible stories, I've realized how much more each story that I had learned as a child and then later as a young adult has. And I hope that as you have been here each week and hearing familiar stories again, that you have been invited into these stories, both in the familiar ways that taught us, but also in ways that might make us think, oh, I hadn't thought of that before. I'm hoping today's story at the Pool of Bethesda is no exception. Now, when I sat in my office, I don't know when, about, what, 6 or 8 weeks ago, and took about 30 minutes and wrote down about 10 Bible stories and then weeded it down to 5, I had no idea where all those stories, why I chose the ones I chose. But I have to tell you that God knew why I chose them, because each story has spoken to me personally in a very important way. So I hope that through that, they've also become relevant to you. But if not, it's not been a waste. Now we have Jesus gone back to Jerusalem for a Jewish feast. And he goes to a very familiar landmark, the Sheep's Pool called Bethesda. And they have this very ornate building that has 5 porches that looks out onto the lake. Now this water, there's a spring underneath this water. And for centuries, when the water would bubble, the people thought that that was divine, that there was some spiritual or magical force in that spring. And so the tradition was, as the water bubbled up from the spring periodically, the first person that could get into the water would be healed. So at the time of Jesus being at this place, here's 5 porches filled with people wanting to be healed. Jesus comes up to this one man and asks him a very important, radical question. He says, do you want to get well? Now, at first glance, you might think, well, if Jesus knew the man had been there for 38 years, he shouldn't have had to ask that kind of question, because of course he'd want to get well. He's at the pool where healing takes place. It's important for us to note that of all the healings that Jesus does in the New Testament, this is the only one where the person did not approach Jesus. This man didn't come up to Jesus and ask to be healed. Jesus sought him out 2x. The man's response is much more intriguing to me as an adult than it was when I first heard the story as a child. The focus on the story when we first learn it is where it should be, on the healing power of Jesus, and how here was this man who hadn't walked for 38 years, and Jesus enters his life and offers him healing, and the man is healed. But this time, I'm not going to focus as much on what Jesus did, because we already know that. I want to focus more on the man's responses. When Jesus asks him if he wants to get well, he doesn't answer yes. He says, basically, it's not my fault. Nobody will help me. And when I finally get myself to the water, somebody steps in front of me. He never says, yes, heal me or help me. He's just full of excuses. But Jesus isn't very sympathetic to those excuses. And instead, he appeals to the man's will. And he says, get up. And then he tells the man to do the very thing that the man is convinced he cannot do and hasn't been able to do for 38 years. He says, take up your mat and walk. And the man does it. He hadn't asked. He hadn't even answered the question. But he got up, he got his mat, and he was healed and he walked. Now, in John's gospel, he is trying to build the conflict between the good that Jesus is doing and the new life that Jesus brings and the status quo, the establishment, who's not very happy. And as it turned out, Jesus happened to heal this man on the wrong day. You're not supposed to carry your mat on the Sabbath, because that's considered work. And Jewish people do not work on the Sabbath. We have something we could learn from them, but that's not for today. But this man is healed after 38 years, and in his first steps out, he gets in trouble for breaking the law. When he's asked why, instead of saying, you know what, this is my first day to walk, I'm so sorry, I didn't know, he says, well, that man who healed me told me to do this. He doesn't even know who Jesus is. But he trusted him enough to do what Jesus told him to do, the good and the ones that got him in trouble. He got up and walked, and he carried his mat. Later, Jesus finds the man again. I think this is so powerful that this man didn't seek Jesus out either time. And yet Jesus found him twice. And he comes to him and tells him, look, you are well. Don't blow it. Don't mess up things, or it could get worse. Do you want to be well? Now, this story is about the physically infirmed. But today, I want to use it as a symbolism, not as for our physical ailments, because as we age, they get more and more. But I want to talk about it as an analogy or a symbolism for our other ways that we could be well. Our relationships, our spiritual life, our emotional life, our vocational life. Do we want to be well? Now, you know as well as I do, because we all know some people, that not all people with problems want to be rid of them. I know you've met somebody like that. Their life is in a pickle. And they seem to have taken up residence in what looks to us as a painful place, yet they have their mats of comfort, their routine, and their excuses as to why change can't happen. And it is never, ever their fault. So they live there and wait. They're in the right place to get well, but for various reasons, healing never comes. Do you want to get well? It's a very radical question, because being well changes everything. We build our lives around our unhealth, and when we get healthy, everything that's attached to that has to change. As I was working on this, I thought about a story. Now, I was blessed with a mess gene. I am a very messy person. Mess doesn't really bother me. But every once in a while, mess will go over the top and bother me. And a few years ago, it was before, we measure things in our life before Joey or after Joey. And this was a before Joey time, so that tells you how long ago it was. But we had this chair in our bedroom that you should have been able to sit on, but neither Ed nor I could sit on because all of our laundry landed there instead of going to the laundry room. Y'all are shaking your head like you might have a chair or have seen a chair, somebody else's house, I'm sure. So one day, and things at my job were being overwhelmed, and I don't know what was going on in my life, but it was overwhelming me. And I laid there in bed in the morning looking at this chair, complaining about my life to Ed, who's very sympathetic usually. And I said, you know, my life feels just like that chair. It's just a mess. The sympathy that I wanted, I did not get. And instead, I got a little bit of Jesus coming from my husband, who says, you can do something about both of those things by getting up. Now, sometimes we are the voice of Christ to those who love us and who we love. Get up. Two words, get up. Don't get bogged down by excuses, but the simple appeal to somebody's will. Get up. Do the very thing that you have accepted that you cannot do, but have tricked yourself into thinking, I really want to, One of the commentaries I read when I was studying for this said that sometimes we confuse our imaginations with our heart. And I thought, that's a fascinating concept, because we think we want something, but then when we're confronted with, are we willing to do the work that that change requires, it's like, not yet, not so much. And then Jesus didn't just tell him to get up and walk. He told him to take his mat. I think Jesus didn't want him to come back. Jesus didn't want him to return to that comfortable place. Because if you and I both know, all of us know, that change is hard. And sometimes when we're moving in a new direction, it is so much more comfortable to go back to that old mat that we knew right where it was. We knew everybody around us. We knew the routine. And we don't know this new place called change. We all have different mats to stay comfortable where we really don't belong. Mats of complacency, mats of self-pity, mats of excuses, mats of blame, nobody will help me, everybody gets in front of me, mats of I can't, instead of trusting that I can. 14, verse 14, Jesus sought this man out again and said, you are well, don't sin anymore. It could imply that maybe the reason he was in this place for 38 years might have been because of some of his own life choices. If so, he wouldn't be the first one to ever get in a mess that he helped create. But Jesus said, your spiritual health is what's the most important. Let it feed you so that you do not return to those places of physical unrest. So what about us? As I told you at the beginning, God is using this story to speak to me. Homeschooling a 14-year-old is not an easy job. It's not as easy as it was homeschooling a third grader or a second grader or even a fifth grader. And I'll be honest with you, I had all kinds of excuses of why it wasn't working. And was even thinking about putting the poor child back in public school. And I had an appointment Thursday with my homeschool counselor at SCAES. She looked me straight in the face and she said, Irene, it is hard, but God calls us to do hard things. She was the voice of Christ to me, telling me, get up and walk. So is there any brokenness in your life that you give lip service to, I'd really like this fixed. But our excuses have become so comfortable that we don't get up. With Christ's help, this man couldn't do this alone. He was there for 38 years. It took Christ entering his life and telling him, get up. Is Christ telling us to get up individually as a church? We're a great church, but where do we need to get up? And where do we need to walk that we're not walking? You know, like the man in the story, when you get well, you're going to make somebody mad. You're going to break somebody else's rule because they don't like that you're doing it on a certain day or in a certain way. Jesus wasn't worried about the rules, and I don't think he wants us worried about the rules either. Don't worry about making people uncomfortable with your own health. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for this story. Thank you for all of your stories. Help us to continue to hear your voice, to hear you asking us, do we want to be well? Because we know that you have told us that you have come so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Give us the courage to trust you. Give us the courage to get up and walk. Amen. Our hymn of invitation today, I think we're all family, but our hymn of invitation today is 627, I Want Jesus to Walk With Me. Please stand if you're able. Thank you. Now hear our benediction. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with kindness and give you peace. Amen. Our going forth song is hymn number 439, God Dismiss Us With Your Blessing.